The scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, 20th chapter, verses 24 through 28. And it's kind of the tail end of an incident that took place between Jesus and his disciples. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment or two. Jesus, in Matthew 28, 24 through 28, had this kind of experience with his disciples. When they heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I'm continuing today with the series on the way of the cross, because in our personal Christian journey, we will all have to confront the cross in some way or another. So far, I have said that the way of the cross is a way of surrender, sacrifice, and self-denial. Today, I want to suggest to you that the way of the cross is also a way of service. The incident that took place in the scripture that I read to you was another teaching moment for the disciples of Jesus. In Matthew's account of this incident, the mother of James and John asked Jesus for the two highest, most important places in Jesus' kingdom. In Luke's account, the two brothers asked Jesus directly. Jesus replied by saying that they really had no idea about what they were asking. They had no idea because they were thinking in terms of special privilege or maybe prestige. And Jesus told them that there would be hard times ahead and all of them would be involved. And the real question would be, would they be able to handle it? Our scripture tells us that the rest of the disciples were indignant with James and John and their mother. We don't know if they were upset with them, with James and John, because they felt they were out of line for asking such a special favor. Or perhaps they had thought about the same thing, but didn't have the courage to ask Jesus. Or maybe they were upset because they weren't the first ones to think of it and to ask Jesus about it. But Jesus used this opportunity to teach his disciples and us about servanthood. The request for a special place in Jesus' kingdom was a reflection of the worldly attitude about greatness. What makes a person great? What makes for a great life? It depends on who we ask, doesn't it? In the world, greatness is measured by position, power, money, and fame, and how much we have of those things. If you ask the average person on the street the question, "Who do you look up to?" in today's world, I think we would be amazed at some of the answers we would receive. For many people, it would be so-called sports stars, athletes, professional athletes, or maybe entertainers. I've never understood why Hollywood people are considered important. After all, anyone who can take direction can make a movie. And as one person said, how hard can it be? And what redeeming value do most movies have that are made in our day today? Most of them are worthless. It once was true that ministers and other religious leaders were held in high esteem by other people, but not so much anymore. Did you know that there are fewer and fewer people who are entering into study for the ministry, Bible colleges, seminaries? Partly because I think such work is no longer considered important in our culture by many. If we think about the world's measure of greatness, how the world looks at greatness, I think we will be disappointed in the final outcome of life lived according to such values. I don't know if such measures of importance or greatness were in the minds of Jesus' disciples who made this request of him to have those special places in his kingdom. The fact that Jesus pointed them in a different direction might cause us to think that they were going down the wrong track. For while they were jockeying for position among the disciples, Jesus showed them a different way. The way that Jesus pointed out to them was the way of service, a way of being a servant. He said, if you're going to be a follower of his, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be willing to serve. You must be a servant. That goes against the grain of what most people think about as important today. I was struck by something recently that made me stop and think about how many people ever wonder why they are here on this earth? They're here every day, but do they ever stop and think, why am I here? What am I doing here? How did I get here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Are they here? Are we all here just to amass as much money and possessions as possible? Are we here to gain some measure of fame? Is it to gain and exercise power over other people? Now, in regard to that one, I think that we all have to be aware of the fact that there are people in our country today, and let's not kid ourselves, there are people who want us to give them power. And what do they want power for? So that they can control every aspect of our lives. Why would we do that? Because in their warped minds, they know better than we do how we should live. And they know that we are so inept and so unable that we need to be taken care of. Of course, they neglect to tell us that it will cost us our precious freedom. Socialism as a way of life is a terrible evil because, for one thing, it does not take into account human sinfulness, and that always rises to the top. Communism has always oppressed people rather than setting them free. The world's measure of greatness will always degrade and disappoint those who are seeking it. That's the reason that Jesus pointed out that for those who want to follow him, there's a different, better way. The pathway to greatness in the kingdom of God is the way of service. Remember, I said to you that it all depends on who is doing the measuring when it comes to true greatness. The world has one standard, but God has another. As followers of Jesus, we must pursue the purpose for which we have been put here on this earth. Listen to this. There is a higher purpose for which we have all been put here on this earth. It amazes me that some people never think about it, never want to know about it, never want to try to find that place and live in that way. It is possible for us to go through life day after day without ever thinking seriously about our purpose for being here. If we're not careful, the world will soak up our lives. And if we let it, we will see that our lives will go in a way that we don't want them to go. I know some people whose sole purpose in life is to get ahead. That's what they think about. That's what they live every day for. They think about, how can I get ahead? How can I progress? How can I make more? How can I do more? I want to be ahead. I want to grow, get ahead. Now, in some ways, there's nothing wrong with that. For other people, who the main concern of their lives is enjoying themselves. We want to find as many ways possible as we can enjoy ourselves. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with that unless it becomes your whole reason for living. Then it becomes rather wasteful. The world will lead us off into pointless, pitiful pursuits if we're not careful. So along comes Jesus, and he tells us, if you want to follow me, you must become a servant. He doesn't say, if you want to. He says, if you want to follow me. We must be willing to serve in whatever way we can. We must become a servant in the truest sense of the word. Although it is involved that we do things, we do acts of service. That's not the most important thing, because it's really an attitude. It's how we think about life. It's how we live life. It's how we go out every day, what we do every day. I remember hearing about a woman who had been a socialite. She'd lived that kind of life. She'd been into all kind of social things, and she just lived that way. She was very wealthy. And she one day became a Christian, just kind of out of the blue. And her life changed radically. And she was totally involved in learning about and growing in the Lord, to the extent that she said that she just wanted to be in the church building every time the doors opened. She even showed up for weddings and funerals of people she didn't know. She had a great desire to serve in some way. One day after a wedding that she had attended, she asked her minister about giving her something to do. She said, I want to serve. I want to do something. Can you suggest something that I can do? And he handed her a broom. And he said, go out on the front and sweep up the rice off the sidewalk. She said, that wasn't exactly what I was thinking about. I was thinking about something a little more, a little higher, you know, a little greater. But she went ahead and did it. Later on, she had opportunities to serve in greater ways, and she did. But she believes that if she had been unwilling to do that first simple act of service, she might not have had other opportunities. You see, it's a matter of attitude. Are we willing? Are we available? Two most important aspects of serving. Are we willing? Are we available? It's not so much about our ability. God can give us ability. But are we willing? And are we available? If we're willing to serve, we must ask ourselves a question. Lord, what would you have me to do? I might have my own ideas. Well, I know what I want to do. I see something over there that I think is really important. And I want to do that. But the Lord might say, no, over here, I have something for you to do. If we're willing, there will always be opportunities to serve. People do acts of service all the time without even thinking about it. Did you know that somebody prepares the communion every Sunday? Sometimes we take that for granted, don't we? It's just here. And sometimes we take other things for granted. Just here. We don't realize that somebody did that. And we should be thankful for that person. We should be aware of that. I told you about my mother who became depressed because she felt like she wasn't doing anything worthwhile in her life, just sitting there. And she said, I don't know why the Lord doesn't take me on home. I said, Mother, there's always something that we can do. There's always something. And if you can't do anything else, you can pray for people. I said, why don't you call up your preacher and ask him to give you a list of people that really need prayer. And you pray for those people every day. And after a while, you'll feel different about why you're here, why the Lord's keeping you here. And why you can do something that you didn't know you could do. It's a very important thing to to serve the Lord, not only willingly, but gladly. You know, the psalmist said, serve the Lord with gladness. It's an attitude. It's how we look at it, how we do it, how we enter into it, how we continue it, how we complete it. You know, it doesn't matter how big it is, or it doesn't matter how little it is, because, are you okay? Okay. Doesn't matter how big it is or how little it is. The important thing is that we do it for the right reason and with the right attitude. No one else may ever see it. You know, we may do some simple act of service. We may do something, nobody else sees it. But you know what? God sees it. And He takes note of it. He writes it down in His book. Did you know God's keeping a book? You're in it. And He's taking note. And someday He's going to tell you about all the things that you did that you've forgotten about and you don't even realize were noteworthy. But He thought they were. Jesus could make this kind of demand because He gave us the perfect example. He said He came not to be served, but to serve others. You know, if anyone was in line to be served, it was Jesus. If anyone deserved to be served, it was Jesus. But He said, no, I didn't come here for that. I came here to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And He did. He was willing, in other words, to lay down His life for others. Isn't that what it means to be a servant? To live our lives not just for ourselves, but to live our lives for others as well. What we can do, not just for ourselves, but mindful of others, what we can do for them. There's a poem written by Charles F. Brown that is also a song, and it goes like this. Reach out and touch a soul that is hungry. Reach out and touch a saint in despair. Reach out and touch a life torn and dirty. Reach out and touch someone who is lonely, if you dare. Reach out and touch the neighbor who hates you. Reach out and touch that stranger that needs you. Reach out and touch the brother who misses you. Reach out and let the grace of God touch through you. Reach out and touch a friend who is weary. Reach out and touch a seeker who is lost. Reach out and touch, though touching means losing a part of yourself, if you care. Reach out and give your love to the loveless. Reach out and make a home for the homeless. Reach out and share God's light in the darkness. Reach out and let the smile of God touch through you. Jesus said He came to serve. And He also said that if we want to follow Him and be like Him, we must be willing to serve. Let's pray that we might all be like Jesus, that we might be His hands and His feet in the world today, like Isaiah of old. Let's come to the Lord and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. And then it can be said of us that we are a servant of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the example of greatness, which is to be willing to lay down our lives for others, to be willing to serve others, to be available to You, Father, whenever You want to give us opportunities to serve in some way or another. Father, when that time comes, help us to be willing. It may not be something great or big, might be something small. Doesn't matter. Help us just to be willing and available to You each and every day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.